If you have your Bibles with you, turn to Romans chapter 13, and we're going to start in verse 1. Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Father, we pray that you would bless this time together. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your presence here in this place. We thank you, Lord, that we've been able to sing about your goodness today and about what we believe about you, Jesus, being God's Son. We know that that's the truth. We are living that out. You're in our hearts. You're in this place. And Holy Spirit, you're now welcome in this place and ministering now to us through your word. I pray that you would help us to open up our hearts to receive from you a word that's going to change our lives forever. We need a word from you. We need a touch from you. We need your strength. We need your help. We need your hope. It's found in your word. We need instruction from you. Help us, Lord Jesus, to walk out of here equipped and changed and challenged and renewed and encouraged in your word and in your presence today. We thank you in advance for what you're going to do, Jesus, and it's in your name we pray. And everybody said amen. Today's title of this message is The Thin Lines of Blue and Red. The thin lines of blue and red. I want to start off by talking about the thin line of blue, and it's found in verse 1 of chapter 13 of Romans. If you're there, let me hear you say, praise the Lord. It says, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Don't you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and you'll be commended. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, and I might add, be very afraid. For rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants against the wrath, they are God's servants, agents of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. This is also why you pay taxes. For the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. So we end with this. Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, well, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. And if honor, then honor. Well, as we discussed this past Wednesday, for those of you who are part of the small groups on Wednesday nights, we have a married couple small group on Wednesday nights, and we just started a series about what God's Word says about what real marriage is and what an authentic marriage is based on God's Word. And we discovered this past Wednesday, or we were reminded, that God has ordained and established three entities in our world. The first one being marriage, the second one being the church, and it's not in this order, but I saved the one for last based on who we're honoring today, and the third is government. God has ordained and established that. We just read about that in Romans chapter 13, where God has ordained and established government for our good. Now, all three have forever been under attack. And in fact, if you look at marriage right now, it's being redefined in our nation and all across the world. The church is actually being maligned and belittled, and it has been over the centuries. And the respect and appreciation and the honor for our government and the different areas of it is really on the decline as well. There's no more apparent attack on our government than in the law enforcement and in the first responders. We're seeing over the last several years such a disrespect for our first responders and for our law enforcement. And so today, as we do as God's words instructs, I want us to give honor, as we just read, and respect to the first responders of our community. Now, if you've been here for the last couple of weeks, it's been a very tough couple of weeks here for our community. We saw Detective Michael Doty losing his life in protecting us. You see a picture of him behind me. In fact, this past Monday was the funeral. And then we also want to recognize three more officers who were shot attempting to do the same, Sergeant Buddy Brown, Sergeant Kyle Cummings, and Sergeant Randy Clinton. And praise the Lord, they were all they're all home now. They're all safe and recovering at home. So we thank God for that. So we see these first responders that extend themselves out to us, one of those three paid the ultimate price and gave his life so that we might be protected in this community. And then we also look at that just a few days ago, there was this senseless shooting at the peach stand just up the road here on Highway 21, where this young lady, 19 years old, who had her whole life ahead of her, a man just randomly came in and just took her life. It's senseless. I don't understand what's going on here. This past Monday, as I said, we were many of us from the church staff, and then some that were here to just visiting the church that day. We actually put some red cups out on the fence that said "R.I.P. D.E.T. Detective Doty," and then we put a couple American flags out there, and for close to an hour, we put our hands over our hearts and just watched the processional go from, I guess they started in Pineville and they were headed to Forest Hills gravesite in down Selanese Road. And so they came right down I-77 and got off at this exit. And just one car after another, about an hour's worth of first responders, fire trucks and police cars and ambulances and you name it, from all over the area. I saw, from what I could read on the size, not only cars from all over the state of South Carolina, but some from North Carolina and some outside of even those states that came and just came to honor their own. And it was the one time, as I was, my wife and I were standing there watching it, and it was kind of, the words that we could come up with was just, it was at once impressive as it was sad. To see why what was going on, that there was a loss of life, but at the same time, it made me so proud. I was so impressed with our community to see cars that are heading this way pull over and stop and pretty much stay stopped for the entire time as well, at least right in front of the church. And I can just imagine that was taking place all the way from Pineville to here. And then saw pictures and saw on the news where folks were standing on Selanese Road and waving flags and just honoring our police officer, not only Michael Doty, but really all of the police officers, all of the first responders. It was a way to say thank you, and we're with you all the way on this. In fact, last Sunday, we opened up our church parking lot. It was an entirely different weather day last week. The sun was shining, and we were just wanting to make sure that everybody that wanted to be in that processional on Monday had a clean car. And so I don't know if you noticed this past Sunday, for those of you who came, where there was a lot of activity going on the other side of the parking lot, where we were just washing cars for those that wanted to be in the processional, just as our way of saying God bless you, and we're going to let you use all the water and soap and suds and clean it up and make it look nice and shiny in honor of our Detective Doty, and really in an honor of our first responders. And I want to thank you, by the way, for everybody that contributed to that, and that was just gave of your time and effort to that. But we saw this past Monday where these folks went down the processional with nice and shiny cars, clean cars, in honor of their fallen comrade. And on Monday, a community, an entire community, mourned the loss together with them. You know, things like this just don't happen in York County. They just don't. The last time, my understanding, that an officer was killed in the line of duty, and correct me if I'm wrong, was it 1992? So 28, 27, 26 years ago, pardon my math, a long time ago. And folks, that what happened at the peach stand in Fort Mill, it's an iconic, really an upper scale stop where folks can get fresh fruits and vegetables. It's not just a place to get gas. People go in there and sit around and grab an ice cream cone with their families. Just this nice family store. It just doesn't happen like this in our community. But our world is changing. Our country is changing. Violence is on the rise. Anger is just bubbling just below the culture's surface. Evil is on the rise. And these things are just, they're creeping in even in the most wholesome and seemingly safe areas of our world. And it's not just in our inner cities anymore where crime-ridden experiences take place, but they're taking place just around the corner in the little sleepy town of York and up at a peach stand in Fort Mill. It's right at our back door. The fact is that we live in a dangerous and evil world where we're facing uncertainty every single day. Our news is filled daily with school shootings just up in Kentucky a week and a half ago. neighborhood, drive-by shootings take place far too often. There's robberies, there's vandalisms, there's other sorts of criminal activities. And I just want to say thank God for the law enforcement officers of our community. I want to thank God for their willingness to step into harm's way, to run towards the fires, to run towards the shootings, to run towards the injuries, to run towards the danger, and to keep us safe and to bring us rescue. Many, as a result, have paid the ultimate price. I don't know if you've seen an image of what you see on the screen back behind me of automobiles of a thin blue line across a backdrop of black. You see it sometimes as a sticker on the back of a bumper, sometimes on a license plate on the front. This past Monday, in fact, we saw a car, two or three, several in fact, that had displayed a black and white American flag with a thin blue line running across it. I looked on the web for a description. I wanted it to be accurate. I kind of knew what it talked about, but I wanted to be accurate in what this symbol represents, and this is the write-up that I found. The thin blue line represents all law enforcement who daily protect this nation. And the black background is a constant reminder of all fallen officers. The line is what police protect. It's the barrier between anarchy and a civilized society, between order and chaos, and between respect for decency and lawlessness. So today, we honor and stand with our first responders who stand between order and chaos. We thank you for your sacrificial service to our community and to the families, the wives and the husbands and the children who also are providing their parents and their spouses for us. You know, I heard someone say the other day that the law enforcement jobs are the one of the few. In fact, I can't think of another other than military deployment across the seas. But in this country, it's one of the few, if not the only, in our country where men and women put on a uniform every day and leave their homes fully anticipating being shot at. Many jobs require uniforms in our nation, but only one has a bullseye on it. Not too many out there are willing to sign up to be shot at. So first responders, today I would like for the congregation to stand, if you will, as the first responders remain standing. Because I want to say that all of us in this congregation not only stand with you, we also stand for you now, and we applaud you and we thank you. Thank you, congregation. And there's more where that came from. We're going to do some special things for you all today, but that's the first shot at it. So we're going to just take good care of you guys today. So as we look at this thin blue line and what it represents, and when you look at these symbols on cars and other places going forward, I want you to, congregation, say a prayer for every time you see one of those, because it's either because that person is our first responder or they have a relative who is a family member, or they're also supporting. But it's just a great way to remind us that when we see those symbols like you're seeing on the screen, to just say a word of prayer for those first responders who place themselves in harm's way for us every single day. But as we look at what this thin blue line represents to our society, the line between anarchy and civilized society, between order and chaos, and between decency and lawlessness. There's also another line, another thin line, of another color that's been drawn through the ages that separates and also protects. In a world impacted and infected by the curse of sin, this thin line is our only hope of salvation that separates all of mankind from an eternity apart from God. This line is not blue, though. This line is red. You know, we see the first application of this thin red line in the book of Exodus, chapter 12, verse 21. This story may be familiar to most. God had given Moses an instruction to kill lambs, a lamb for each house, and to keep that lamb for 10 days in the home. On the 10th day, and then on the 14th day, was to kill that lamb. and then take the blood and place it over the doorpost, as you see these three lines here that are implemented on the screen. And it says, then Moses brought all the elders of Israel, all the men of Israel, and said to them, go at once and select the animals of your families and slaughter the Passover lamb, and take a bunch of hyssop, dip it into the blood in the basin, and put some of the blood on the top and on both sides of the door frame. None of you shall go out of the door of your house until morning. When the Lord goes through the land to strike down the Egyptians, he will see the blood on the top and sides of the door frame, and will pass over that doorway, and he will not permit the destroyer to enter your houses and strike you down. Now we see this as the first obvious extension of what ultimately Christ has done for us. And I say this was the first example of it, but really there was one before that, found in the book of Genesis, that was implied. If you see what's going on in the book of Genesis, there was a need of a sacrifice for the covering of the sin of Adam and Eve, because Adam and Eve were naked before their sin, literally, and after they sinned, they realized their nakedness, and they were ashamed, and God took care of it and covered their nakedness as a form of covering their sin. They were clothed in the skin of animals. You see in Genesis chapter 3, verse 21, where it says that the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. As I said, Adam and Eve had disobeyed God's command to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then the serpent deceived them, and then they disobeyed God and they ate of that tree. And then once they did, they became aware of their nakedness and were ashamed and afraid and hid from God. So God, as his part of his response, prepared garments to cover them. But I want to ask you this morning, have you ever thought, where did the skins of this garment come from? The answer is this, that God took an animal and he slayed it and he sacrificed that animal in order to use the skin to cover Adam and Eve's nakedness. A lot of us think that maybe the first bloodshed in the Bible was when Cain killed Abel, but that's not true. The first bloodshed that took place was when God killed the animal to take the skin and cover Adam and Eve with it. It was the first bloodshed in the story of mankind. God killed an animal to prepare a covering for the sin of man. And it was a symbol and a forerunner of God's ultimate and once and for all sacrifice of his Son, Jesus Christ. And then we move to Exodus and we see God giving specific instructions to Moses to kill that lamb and to kill the lamb for each house and place the blood of it over every doorpost. Whatever doorpost had the blood applied was passed over by the destroyer, and death did not come to that house. You know, there's so many direct lines, there's so many parallels with this story that we can draw to what Christ has done for us. First off, if you read in this chapter before this verse 21, you'll see that it's instructed by God that the lamb needed to be a male lamb. Well, Jesus was a male lamb of God. God also instructed Moses that that lamb had to be without blemish. We know that Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice, and he was without spot or wrinkle. He was without blemish, the perfect sacrifice for all of mankind. We see the instructions that he was to be brought into the house on the 10th day and then slaughtered on the 14th day. If you understand how the week of Passover worked, is that Jesus came into town on that Monday, and 4 days later, on the day of Passover, he was slaughtered. On the 14th day, on the fourth day, there was 4 days difference. God also said to them, Moses and to them, to take the rest of what was left over from the lamb and to cook it and to eat the lamb. And he was very specific to say that he wanted you to eat all of it. You see, when we consume Christ, and we talked about this last week, where Jesus came and said, listen, I need you to drink all of my blood, and I need you to eat all of my flesh. And many of the fair-weathered followers left him at that point because they said, this is hard. This is a hard word for us to receive. And then he turned to his disciples and says, what about you? Are you going to go away? And Peter said, where are we going to go? Only you have the words that bring life. And they embraced all of him. You see, that what God's called us to do is to say, listen, you can't just take his salvation and not let him be your Lord. You can't just let him be your Savior. I need you to allow him to be your Lord as well. In other words, it's not just getting washed from your sins, but it's walking out in relationship with Him every day to consume all of Him. The Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord, He is good. And the parallels that are there that we need to eat all of Christ, to accept all of Christ, are so obvious. And then finally, we see that the blood over the doorpost spared them from the destroyer's assignment. We know that the destroyer of our souls, his name is Satan. And when we have the blood of Christ covering the doorpost of our heart, we are spared from the destroyer that would come our way and try to kill us and take us away forever in eternity in hell. You know, Jesus' crucifixion took place on the very day of Passover, and his work rescued us from the assignment of the destroyer of our soul, Satan. When we apply the blood of the Lamb over the doorpost of our heart, we're forgiven and we're rescued and restored back to right relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ. That relationship that was broken in the Garden of Eden is restored through the blood of Jesus. Aren't you thankful this morning for that? You know, Billy Graham once said, and I've put the quote up on the screen for you to look at, the blood of the Lamb applied over the doorpost on the night of Israel's deliverance from Egypt distinguished the obedient from the disobedient. Just so today, the applied blood of the Lamb of God is the distinguishing mark of God's called out ones, the church. You know, just as the thin blue line of our first responders separates order from chaos and decency from lawlessness, Jesus' thin red line of his shed blood distinguishes us apart from the disobedient. Now, there's a death angel roaming around looking to destroy us. The Bible describes him in 1 Peter 5:8 as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We know him as Satan. He's the enemy of our souls. His job description is found in John 10:10. And there's three things that Satan does. This is his job description. He does nothing more than these things, but this is enough. The Bible describes him as a thief set out to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Sounds like a lot what our first responders face daily, doesn't it? Robbers and killers and those who would attempt to destroy. But spiritually, ladies and gentlemen, our congregation this morning, I speak to you now, we're in partnership with these brave men and women today as they face evil people who have as their job description to steal and kill and destroy. We also face an enemy who is doing that on a daily basis in our homes and in our schools and in our marriages and in our society. We must be vigilant. Church, we must be on guard. We must be willing and available and proactive to fight this battle. And as much as we need the first responders, I will be so bold as to say that our first responders need the church as well. They have their job, and we have our job. Their job is to put those in jail who break the law. Our job is to find those who are shackled in the bondage of sin and set them free. Their job is to have those surrender and arrested who are causing harm. Our job is to see them surrender and be arrested in the loving arms of Jesus. You see, God ordained the government and the church to work together, side by side, to bring justice and deliverance and healing and protection and safety and strength and hope to our society. We work in tandem together, just like Ezra and Nehemiah did. They're excellent examples in the Old Testament. If you read their stories, while Nehemiah was rebuilding the walls, he was the first responders. He responded out of where he was in captivity, hundreds of miles away, and he came to rebuild the walls that were broken down in Jerusalem. And while he was doing the wall, rebuilding the walls physically, Ezra was at the same time rebuilding the people spiritually. They worked together, and they worked side by side, hand in hand, with the same goal in mind of building people and communities into a safer, more productive, more healthy, more wholesome place to live and to contribute. They both knew their roles and they functioned at a high capacity with excellence in them. And I challenge you as a church, let's do the same thing. Here in this community, there's definitely walls that need to be rebuilt. There's definitely people that need to be rebuilt. There's definitely families that need to be rebuilt. There's definitely people that are being stolen and killed and destroyed by the enemy, that it's time for us to come in there and do what we can to bring rescue to them in the name of Jesus. You see, the first responders, they just can't do this all by themselves. We thank them for their work and we thank them for their diligence, but they need our help as much as we need theirs. We are the Ezras and they are the Nehemiahs, and we work together. So let me close today with this. Paul tells the people of Israel back then, and he tells us today in 1 Corinthians 5:7, that Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. You see, Paul was writing to the Jews of the day, reminding them of what took place back in the book of Exodus, what Moses did to all the with all the folks then, and the lamb and the blood was over the doorpost. He was saying, hey, remember that? You know that story. You've heard it so many times. Christ, what just happened just not too long ago in the history of the world here in Jerusalem, you heard about it. You've heard about Jesus. Christ, that one that got crucified, he is our Passover lamb. He was telling those folks then, and he's the Word of God is telling us today. Just as the people back in the book of Exodus got saved, they got saved the same way that we get saved today. You know, I'm sure, in fact, I saw a picture, like a drawing of some folks that were laughing in the forefront of this picture, and in the backdrop of the picture, there was some folks that were putting some blood over their doorposts, and there were some people in the forefront that were pointing and laughing and mocking at them. Like, what kind of fools are they? What kind of ridiculous, silly thing is that they're doing? And people laughed and mocked at the silly gesture of obedience back then, that gesture of faith as they acted out what they put their when they put the blood over the doorpost. But that silly act of faith saved them. The next day, they were the ones alive and spared to tell the tale to others. I want you to think about it. I want you to just look at that drawing for just a second. Because the way that blood's applied is really how a cross is. Because you have the one side where you've got the right side that's applied to the left side in this case. And then you got another side where that's applied there. So you got a line that basically is drawn this way. And then they put the blood up at the top and it dripped down. And I know that's not in the form of a cross, but you can see how very easily it can be, because you got a spot and you got a spot which forms a line this way. And then you got an application at the top and then the blood drips down. And that really is the form of a cross. And that's the way that they were saved. First right, then left, then top, and the blood dripped down, is the way that we're saved today. You know, so we thank the thin blue line that represents those that are here today. We honor you today for your sacrifice, for your service, for your protection. And we thank, again, your families, sons and daughters, husbands and wives, for giving us your loved ones so that we might be safe. And as much as the thin blue line separates us from order and chaos, the thin red line of the blood of Jesus separates all of mankind between an eternity in hell and an eternity in heaven. Can I just say this, that Detective Doty was a believer? He was a Christian, and not just in name only. He walked it out. He loved the Lord. He graduated from Crown Christian Academy, where I used to work up there at that church for a little while. I know that school well. It's an Assembly of God. At least back then, it was an Assembly of God church and an Assembly of God school. He put his faith, though, not in that gun that he had, or not in the, you know, the bullet vest that he had, bulletproof vest that he wore, even though that helped, I'm sure, to keep him safe at most times, not this last time. But ultimately, Detective Doty put his faith in the thin red line of Jesus' blood. He's with Jesus right now, and I can just say thank God for that, because ultimately that's all that matters. I also know that that young lady, from what I understand, that got killed was also a believer, just doing her job, just serving people that came in. And you never know what day is going to hold that you need to be ready. Certainly, I'm sure that Detective Doty didn't expect that his last day was going to be the day that he passed. And certainly this past week, this young lady didn't expect that that was going to be her last. You know, speaking of thin lines, by the way, it seems that many of us put more faith in the thin white line that separates us from oncoming traffic that's coming at 60 and 70 miles an hour, don't we? Than that thin red line of Jesus Christ. And while that thin white line may help protect us from an accident, and the thin blue line may help protect us from lawlessness, it's only through the thin red line of Jesus' blood that we can be saved from our sins. I'm here to tell you this morning that no amount of good deeds are going to save you. You may be a good person. No amount of going to church will save you. You may come to church all the time. That will not save you. You can even believe in Jesus is God's son. Satan believes that Jesus is God's son. The demons in hell have declared it, and they're not saved. And that won't save you either. You must apply the thin red line of the blood of Jesus to the doorpost of your heart and place your faith in him and as your Savior and Lord. Good people go to hell every single day. Only those covered by the blood of Jesus will be saved. You know, you don't hear too much about the blood of Jesus these days. In our gospel light society, it's passé. In fact, a lot of times it's offensive and it's not cool. But I'm here to declare to you this morning that it's always been and it will always be the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from every one of our sins. Amen? So as we conclude today and as we honor our first responders, I would like Emma, if you will, to come up to the piano. I want to extend an invitation to those who need the thin red line of the blood of Jesus to cover and forgive you of your sins. I want to just tell you this morning that Jesus is here to forgive you. And we are here to love you and accept you just where you are. I would like for you, if you will, to stand with me this morning. And I would like for everyone, if you will, to please close your eyes. And Brent, come on up. Close your eyes and bow your heads, if you will, please, all of us in this place. Again, we thank God for the first responders here, but I'm here to tell you, in his last year, I preached the message entitled The Ultimate First Responder. I just reiterate again that the ultimate first responder, his name is Jesus Christ. He saw us with our need for salvation and rescue. He came and he gave us his life. So with every eye closed and every head bowed this morning, I would like to extend to you an invitation for you to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior this morning, to apply the thin red line of the blood of Jesus. You may think, oh, I need more than a thin red line. You don't know what I've done. Listen, you just need a drop. You just need a drop. And his blood is as powerful today as it was when it was first shed. It's just as alive and powerful to forgive you no matter what you've done. And I want to extend an invitation to you this morning. Please don't let this opportunity pass you by. Jesus Christ is here, and it's just as Detective Doty didn't anticipate that was his last day, and this young lady just working her job this past week didn't expect that either. Detective Doty was 37, 38 years old. This young lady was 19. We often have a thought of, well, I'll serve the Lord and I'll accept him later on in life when I get older. Listen, you're not guaranteed another day. Please, let me ask you, won't you please accept Christ as your Lord and Savior today? The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Won't you please rededicate your life to the Lord today if you feel you've drifted away and you need to ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins? Won't you please, don't let this moment pass you by. If today you would like to pray out loud with me a prayer, all of us together will pray it, by the way, all of us in this place. But I want you to lift your hand and say, Pastor Brian, I need Jesus in my heart. I need to apply his blood to my life. I need forgiveness of sins. Won't you lift up your hand and put it right back down, and we'll pray together a prayer. We'll just pray a simple prayer. Ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins. He'll come and just forgive you of every sin. He'll come and live in your heart. It's the greatest act of faith. It's the most important decision that you'll ever make for all of eternity. Don't let this moment pass you by. Anybody at all in this place, lift. Yes, I see those two hands. Anybody else? Anybody else to join these two young ladies? Anybody else? Yes, I see that hand. Anybody else? There's three. Anybody else? Anybody else? Quickly. Yes. Thank you, Lord. All right. Every eye closed and every head bowed. Whether you raised your hand or not, won't you pray this prayer out loud with me? The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is God's Son, you will be saved. I want you to pray this prayer and mean it in your heart. Come on, let's do this together. Say, Jesus, I thank you for dying for my sins. I thank you for that thin red line that separates me from eternity in hell. I praise you and I thank you that you're now forgiving me of my sins, washing me clean of all unrighteousness. I invite you into my heart to be my Savior and my Lord. Help me from this day on to serve you with all of my heart, with all of my soul, and with all of my strength. I love you, Jesus, and I thank you that I'm now forgiven and restored back to God my Father. Amen.